Leslie Roberts in for Evan Solomon today. 3 years after 16 members of the Humboldt Broncos hockey team were killed in a crash on a Saskatchewan highway, men responsible publicly apologizing and now lobbying to stay in our country. As a permanent resident, Jaskarat Singh Sidhu faces deportation to India when his prison sentence comes to an end. He's actually now waiting for the Canada Border Services Agency to write a report that will recommend whether he be allowed to stay in his adopted country or be deported. So that's the question now I have. Should he be allowed to stay in Canada? Well, Scott Thomas is the father of one of the deceased hockey players. This is what he had to say.
You know, I think empathy and compassion go a long way. You know, while the result of his actions were violent and criminal, this wasn't by nature a violent crime. He didn't set out that day with the intent to cause harm. It was just a horrible, tragic accident. And it's our opinion that deportation doesn't need to be the necessary end to this.
That's Scott Thomas. He lost his son in the Humboldt crash. He, in fact, now talks to the man who's in jail's partner. He's forgiven the man who ultimately took his son's life in that horrible crash that day. Other parents feel differently. Shannon Nordstrom's son Logan also died. She thinks he should be sent back to India, as does Andrea Joseph, who lost her son Jackson that day. Here's what those two women had to say.
Consequences of these actions is deportation. And that is the only solution here for us to even get to a layer of healing. It's not about forgiveness. Forgiveness should not change the laws in our country.
And if he was remorseful and felt really bad for killing 16 people, you would go back to your home country without a fight. He has a wealthy family at home with a big farm. He has a future there.
Now, the man in question here, Jaskarat Singh Sidhu, pleaded guilty, says he took full responsibility, went to prison, and under our system, of course, is eligible for parole after one-third of his sentence. He could get out of jail. That's coming up very soon. And then he, under the laws of the land, should technically face deportation. But should he? He is here, permanent resident, but still not a Canadian citizen, so he faces that deportation potential. Should he, in your opinion, be allowed to stay in Canada? I want to hear from you. 1-855-633-1010, or you can text me at 71010. As we await your comments, I want to bring in Ari Goldkind, CTV legal analyst and criminal defense lawyer. Ari, always good to talk to you.
Great to be on with you, Leslie.
Should he be deported or should he stay, in your opinion?
Well, I look forward to hearing what people who contact you with some reasonable thoughts have. I'm going to give you an answer that's different than 92.8% of our discussions.
As per usual.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I think there are strong arguments on both sides of this. I appreciate that we live in a day and age where people believe there's only one way to look at something. And if you disagree, then you're the enemy and you're wrong. I think both sides, let's start with Thomas, the gentleman who lost the son that you played that clip first, because I was actually going to start with him too. Think through in this day and age of tribalism and anti-social media, and you can say you like a movie, and if people don't like that movie, you're going to get canceled. I'm being hyperbolic, but you get my point.
Yep.
This is a man who lost his son. And just for listeners who don't know the circumstances of the Humboldt tragedy, there's a lot of misinformation out there, Leslie, that he was either drunk or texting or looking at his phone or eating a sandwich. One of the greatest pieces of this puzzle that gets no attention because it's boring is the lack of training of new Canadians who go into the trucking industry. They're poorly trained. They're poorly supervised. Their logbooks are often doctored because they're tired. Here, he was driving a massive truck very early on in his career. One of the first times he did it, and at the moment he went through the stop sign, and this is important, he was looking in his rearview mirror because he didn't think his straps or tarps were properly on. So this is a crime for somebody doing 8 years. That Mr. Thomas, the father of the young man, empathy out the you-know-what, more than I probably ever muster. If somebody even looks at my dog the wrong way, I go bananas, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then you get to the woman who says, no, immigration here is a privilege. There should be consequences to what you do. She's not hard-hearted. Remember, this is not a refugee claim. That's important. He would not be deported back to a country that's going to kill him, okay? So there are strong arguments here. And here's the part of the story that I think, and, you know, Leslie, there's a real link to Waukesha, the parade tragedy here. And you might say, what's the link, okay?
Yep.
There's a really important one, and Canadians have lost this thread, which is this is a Mr. Sidhu who, from the time this terrible, tragic, horrific crash happened, never fought it, never argued it, never asked for a deal, never asked for special consideration in the court, never had his lawyer try to give him one day less than it should have been. Do you know how rare that is, Leslie, where somebody does something wrong in this country or the country to the south, and they don't blame everybody else for what they did?
So full responsibility and full remorse is what should be the deciding factor in your opinion.
And Leslie, it's important, and I know it sounds trite, and I'm trying to avoid being boring, which I try not to be. But as a criminal defense lawyer, I can't tell you how different what Mr. Sidhu did in a high-profile case. Let's emphasize this. This is a high-profile case. He had excellent counsel. He could have milked it to the yin-yang. He could have fought it. He could have asked for 3 years, 4 years. He literally said, Leslie, and this is why it's a point that I think has been lost on Canadians. He literally said, I've done something horrible. There's nothing I can do to fix it. It's mea culpa. Let the system do what it should to me. I will take whatever jail sentence in a penitentiary is coming to me. I know it sounds trite, Leslie, but it's a really, really important part of this story where in this day and age, so few people who do so wrong are willing to take accountability. And on that ledger, I think there's a very, very strong argument. Leave aside the fact that he was helping to pay for his wife's education. She's an incredibly important and interesting person who's trying to make Canada better in her work. This is literally the immigrant story, but for, and I don't mean but for in a minimization way, but for him turning to the right to check his tarps, he'd actually be literally the kind of immigrant this country is allowed to have. But you balance that, Leslie, with what the mother says that, you know, again, as to repeat myself, immigration is not a carte blanche. It's not sort of like the border, the southern border of the United States, where it's just open borders. There are rules in place for certain reasons. But let me say this, and then I'll pause. If there was ever a case where somebody who got over 6 months, because that's the important line in the sand, just for listeners to know, it's over 6 months jail.
Yeah.
If there was ever a case where somebody who got an eight-year penitentiary sentence committed the kind of crime that shouldn't necessarily by 100% keep him from being deported, this is it, but I still say both sides of the argument are strong.
The texts are coming in, no surprise, 71010. Keith saying, if you don't deport him, don't deport anyone and scrap the law. Under the current law, he should be deported. What does the law say? I got about a minute left here before we got to take a break.
Yeah, the law says on this very simply, if you're convicted of a crime like this, you get over 6 months in jail. There's a couple other legal wrinkles I won't get into in 10 seconds, that you're likely or most certainly going to face a deportation order. Ultimately, it's up to the government at the end of the day to override or keep somebody there. I can't disagree that there would be a slippery slope here. And you know, Leslie, from talking to me, my answer when there's a slippery slope is wear better shoes.
Yeah.
But this is a really, really interesting and very unique case.
And, you know, normally it's there so that someone who breaks the law in Canada, seen as a threat to others, this is an easy solution to get them out of here for no appeals. Is that how it works?
I think that's very fair. And just for your audience to know, there's absolutely no chance on planet Earth anybody would disagree that there's no chance of recidivism or repeat offending by him. But again, I go back to the mother.
Yep.
There are some very strong reasons why there are consequences. Even if something is inadvertent,
There's
still consequences.
Ari, you stick with us. Your texts and your calls with Ari Goldkind coming up. You're listening to the Evan Solomon Show. I'm Leslie Roberts, iHeartRadio Network. Leslie Roberts in for Evan Solomon this afternoon. The tragedy that was the Humboldt bus crash back in the news. Why? Because the former truck driver who caused that crash submitted paperwork with reasons why he should not be sent back to India when he gets out of prison. He'll be eligible for parole, of course, after one-third of his sentence. Under our law, not being a Canadian citizen, he should be deported. Parents of those who lost boys that day, they're split. Some are saying, show compassion. It was an accident. Others are saying, it's deeper than that. He needs to be deported. What do you say? Let's go to the phones. Ari Goldkind is with us, CTV legal analyst, criminal defense lawyer. Let's begin our talk and go to James in Almont. Good morning, Jay. Or hello, James.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You know, it's just, the law is the law, obviously in special circumstances, but this is just too much, guys. I mean, we're talking a lot of people dead here. We're talking just a tragedy beyond words. I think you kind of just have to deport this guy, and he's gone, and hopefully you can move on a little bit with some sort of a life. But, I mean, if there's any time that you say someone should deport it, we're talking, I think, was it 15 or 16 people dead here?
Yeah, 16. So is this closure? Is this closure? Is that what you're calling this?
I think it's not closure, but will it help? Having someone not in the country? Let's put it in a hypothetical
Please.
Case. You're walking down the street, one of your children had passed away, and you see this guy at a store. I mean, I can't even imagine it, to tell you the truth,
yeah.
the tragedy here. But I just think if there's any case, it's kind of a no-brainer in my eyes that it would happen. You know the Christine Nastis case in Pembroke, the dentist that DUI and that, the reason why they brought that and got her out of jail for the years, they wanted to deport her.
There are lots of There are lots of stories and cases. Thank you, James. Ari, he speaks for a lot of folks.
He does, and if I could, I would ask him a question, all right? Because I think he speaks for a lot of people, and he speaks quite well and elegantly. There was nothing overly partisan about that. And here's the question that I would say back, because he said two things that jump out to me, okay? The first one was, what if you're in a grocery store and you bumped into him?
Mm.
This is not bumping into Paul Bernardo, okay? This is not bumping into somebody Bernardo-like. This is bumping into a human being that on a day made a horrible, horrible mistake. I appreciate that many parents would go the other way or maybe yell at Mr. Sidhu, but I think the best of our human nature, and I can't imagine losing a kid, let alone having a kid, so full disclosure, I can't be there in that empathetic mind. But I would like to think that in this country, if a parent did walk into a grocery store and Mr. Sidhu was there and remained in this country and did his time, they would understand that he's not Paul Bernardo. Okay, now here's what I want to say back to the
yep.
caller who I thought spoke very well. Keith pointed out that 16 people died. That's right, okay? And 13 people, by the way, Leslie, very badly injured. Let's not forget that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I would say this back to him. Sir, I agree with you. I think your point is very well said, but here's a question for you to think about. Who is a worse person? Mr. Sidhu, who was not drunk, not texting, went through the stop sign inadvertently because he was checking his tarps that weren't properly tied down, because the training that they give truckers out west is horrible. I could do a whole hour with you on that, Leslie. Or an immigrant to Canada, no different than Mr. Sidhu, who drives four times over the legal limit, swerves in and around traffic, has three civilians calling 911 saying this guy's weaving all over traffic, banging into mailboxes and other things, property damage, but makes it home and the police arrest him in his driveway. That person, Leslie, when they go to court, is getting a $1,500 fine,
yeah.
maybe an $1,800 fine.
Well, right? And I get the point, and I hear the story, the compassion for the individual who took full responsibility, made no attempts to try and fight it. He just wants to embrace the gift that was Canada. But at the same time, should we not look at the bigger thing here as much, or at least take into consideration what it did to the country, what it did to these families? Or is it totally separate, take the emotion out of it, and just look about the suspect in question?
I'm not advocating, Leslie, and you know I take lines in the sand, and I don't care what people think.
Yeah.
I'm not giving a line in the sand here. My point is, if we look at moral culpability and the immigration question, my point is simply this. Who is morally worse? Sidhu, who does everything that you and I just discussed, and you just added in to full responsibility, full remorse, no trial, no mitigation, or an immigrant who blows three times over mm-hmm. and takes 2 years fighting the charges mm-hmm. on a legal technicality and gets a $1,500 fine and therefore deportation is not engaged.
Point
Why
made.
Are we more angry mm-hmm. at the person, not just the consequences, when to me, and I'm not saying I'm right, Leslie, you can of course disagree, to me the person who's three times over the legal limit, drunk as a skunk, and fights it for 2 years on a legal technicality, I'm not so sure that person is as much of a contribution ultimately to Canada as Mr. Sidhu may ultimately be. But again, I could argue against myself.
Ari, we'll go to Montreal for our next call. Luther, hello, you're on the Evan Solomon Show.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Unfortunately, the law doesn't allow for interpretation. What happened here, while maybe a tragedy by a genuinely good person, needs to be deported. It might even be better for him. Living here with that stigma, it may be something he's never overcome.
Ari?
I think that's a very fair point again. And remember, the 6 months is the line in the sand. There is still governmental discretion here as to whether or not he goes. That's why the lawyer has put together, I can't remember, it's almost like a 400, 200, 500 page document as to why he stays here. And it's really up to, you know, one border enforcement officer. I know people will find that sort of hard to believe. It's up to one person. It then goes to the immigration minister or somebody working for the immigration minister. But because we're limited in time, I think, Leslie, there are extraordinarily strong arguments on both sides, but it may send a message that our immigration system is not what we hope it be. That's probably a conversation for a different
another
day.
Yes.
That's exactly right, because yeah. we're not going to go there. But this isn't a refugee claim, Leslie. Mm-hmm. If this was somebody who would be sent back and would be lynched or hung or tortured, maybe that changes things. He would be sent back to a very comfortable middle-class life, as the mother said, and maybe it sends a message that, you know, there are rules, there are lines in the sand here of 6 months. And Leslie, let me end the answer here. An 8-year sentence, even if it was inadvertent, even if it wasn't intentional, even if it wasn't violent in terms of intentional violence, 8 years is a lot longer than 6 months. This wasn't a 7-month sentence.
Yeah.
So again, I can't disagree with your Montreal caller on principle either.
Ari, we're getting mixed texts. No surprise here. One saying he should at very least have 1 year for each of the 16 lives he took. Someone else was saying, I've thought about this for many years. And the father of one of the boys and his forgiveness, Canada has shown remorse from day one. I mean, this is a debate. If you're a betting man, what do you think the outcome will be? I got 10 seconds.
Betting man is he's deported, and I'll leave it at that, but I don't often make bets unless I'm in charge of the bet.
Ari Gokhine, thank you, sir. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you, Leslie.